Hello and welcome to the Grace of God Hour, brought to you by Minsky Ministries. This is Barry Minsky, and again, I'm so pleased to have the opportunity of sharing God's Word with you today. Yesterday, we completed our study in Isaiah chapter 7, where we're told that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, would be born of a virgin. And so it happened, of course. We're also told in that very passage of the attitude of a king, King Ahaz, who was an unbeliever, who wouldn't trust in the things of God. Well, now we're going to turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And there, probably the most famous verse known to all of us is the 6th verse. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. But once again, I'd like us to look at the background of the giving of this particular prophecy and see what God has to say about his blessing upon his people. In verse 1 it says, "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." And then it says, "The people who walked in darkness will see a great light." God is promising that sometime in the future, from Isaiah's day, there will be a special blessing upon the people of God, that those who are walking in darkness are going to see a bright light. Well, first of all, I think we need to understand what it means that these people walked in darkness. And who were they? Well, Zebulun and Naphtali were tribes in Israel, and they were located in the far northern part of what we now call the Holy Land. There are two ways of looking at this idea of darkness. First of all, it's possible to think of the darkness relating to the fact that the Assyrians were going to attack them and destroy their nation and take many of them away. If we go back to the 8th chapter, we can understand this from a couple verses that we read there. Beginning with the 5th verse, it says, "The Lord spoke to me again, because this people has refused the waters of Shiloah that flow gently, and rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory. And it will rise over all its channels and go over its banks, and it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck, and its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel." And he's talking about the king of Assyria, who was Tiglath-Pileser III. This king was, of course, the king who did, in fact, attack the people of Israel and move so many of them away and disrupt this land. It was pictured as darkness, as we read in the 22nd verse, "And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." The idea here, of course, is that of their being taken away out of their land and thrown into great darkness. But there's another way of looking at it also. You see, these were the far northern tribes. Travel in that day was very difficult, and it would be rare for them to get down into the area of Jerusalem. It was in Jerusalem that we had the seat of learning among those who were studying the Word of God. And here they could go and they could learn, but not the people in the far north. It was simply too far for them. And so the Bible thinks of this as darkness. They did not have the light the wonderful light of the Word of God before them. And so they lived in what would be called a dark land. But God, in His love, tells them that the day is coming when there will be a great light. The people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who lived in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Do you know, when we go to the New Testament, we find that the Lord Jesus is often referred to and refers to Himself as light. In John chapter 1, the Apostle John refers to Jesus as the true light. Jesus speaks of Himself as the light of the world in John chapter 8. And so we see Jesus as one who could light up that darkness, one who could bring light to these people. We have a picture of the joy that will come into the hearts of people who trust in the Lord. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. But it goes on to say, "You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." He gives two pictures here, and these are two wonderful pictures of joy that can be in the hearts of people. First of all, there's the joy of the harvest. I've never been a farmer, but I know many people who have, and they tell me that the whole year is just leading up to the harvest. They plant the seed, they wait for it to grow, they take care of it, they go out every day and do what's necessary to keep rodents and bugs away so that they will be able to have a harvest. And finally, after all that labor, the harvest time finally comes, and they receive the fruit of what they have been working for. They receive the fruits and vegetables and grain that they have planted, and it's a time of incredible rejoicing. The second picture we have is that of men dividing the spoil. Now, we don't do this day, at least we're not supposed to, but in that day, it was common after a battle for the soldiers to divide up the spoil, to take that which belonged to the enemy and make it their own. And so this is a picture of joy. The battle's over. They've won that battle. They are the victors. And what happens? They divide the spoil and go home with their newfound property. Two pictures of real joy. The time of harvest and soldiers sitting around dividing up the spoil. We know that this passage is referring to the Lord Jesus because He is the one who went into Galilee and brought to those people the true light. In Matthew chapter 4, it says this, "Now, when He heard that John had been arrested, He withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." And now, turning back to our prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, we read in the 6th verse, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." It's interesting that God in this passage clearly indicates to us that there will be two natures that the Messiah will have. A child will be born to us. That's human birth. Jesus was born not of a human father, but He was born of a human mother. And so when He was born, there was a new human being on earth. But it goes on to say, a son will be given to us. Notice that the son is not born. The son is given. And if we understand this to be referring to the Son of God, God the Son himself, he existed forever. He's the eternally begotten Son of God. And so he wasn't born. He was given to the people. Two natures, but they exist in one person. It can remind us of that passage in the first chapter of the book of Romans, where we read these words. It is concerning his son, God's son, who was descended from David according to the flesh. Okay, that's human birth, isn't it? And then it goes on. And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Our Lord Jesus was fully man. But interestingly enough, he also had a perfect divine nature. He was man and God. And so this passage teaches us. But it goes on to say, and the government will rest on his shoulders. One may ask, well, what government is this? What are we talking about? Well, it's pretty clear that he is the ruler over his people. He's my king. And if you're a believer, he's yours too. He's your ruler. And he's the one who gives you direction and helps you to do those things which will truly honor him. We're then told what his name would be. And it says, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is our Lord Jesus. He's a wonderful counselor. He gives us counsel in all our needs. He himself is the Mighty God. See, he is God. He's the Eternal Father. Well, we know that Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He's united with the Father. And then he's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace into the lives of those who have lived in turmoil. My friends, he has brought peace into my life. I hope he has also brought peace into yours. What a wonderful passage in God's Word for us to study today. I ask, are you a child of the King? Have you come to know him? If not, I challenge you to turn from sin and to turn to him in faith believing. If you are a child of God, take this message and share it with others, that they might know the Savior, and knowing him, they might have everlasting life. I would love to hear from you. If you would be kind enough to take the time and send me an email, I would appreciate it. The email should go to Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at Minsky Ministries, M-I-N-S-K-Y Ministries.org. I would love to hear from you, as I said. So God bless you until we meet again tomorrow to study the Word of God together.